First of all, I just want to say a huge thank you for all the people that have supported me through this last couple of months, at least the people that I've known. Just come to me and just like patted me on the back and just, you know, saying we're praying for me. And I just want to say a huge thank you, and I appreciate that so very much. I never thought coming to this church that I'd end up standing here today. Definitely was not what I had been thinking coming to this church. I actually was coming to this church as I was pretty broken in spirit. And coming here has been a process for me to heal my heart from a past church experience. And so I also again want to thank you all for just being there for me and supporting me and my wife. I appreciate it very, very much. It's a huge thank you. Yeah, my heart was coming to this church was simply to grow in my relationship with Jesus. And I knew that God's purpose for the church and his body was for us to be in it and to be a part of it. And through it is how we grow in our relationship with Jesus and stay strong and rooted. We need each other. And even through this process, I want you all to know if I do possibly get this job, that I'll need each one of you guys. There's no one that's not in the picture. I'll need your support, your prayers, and your just your love. You know, love is so important in this journey with Jesus. So a little bit of my God story. There's going to be three things I'm going to try to cover today is my God story, and kind of journey to this point, and then also a little bit of my experience in ministry in the past, and then my vision for the youth ministry here. So there's kind of a three things that I want to cover. God's story. God's always been a part of my life. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were diligent to take us to church, teach us about Jesus. It always was a part of my life. I had a fair share of struggles in my life from a young man to now, but through those things, God has shaped me. He's made me who I am today because of those things. So I don't look back and wish, hey, God, I wish you would just take that part of my life out. Then life would have been better. Or, you know, I'm thankful for everything I've been through, and I am who I am today because of some of the struggles and some of the challenges that I've been through. And it has made my faith for what it is. One of the challenges I got was I was diagnosed with a sleeping disorder at about the age of 14 to 15. And it was something that was extremely challenging as a young man. I mean, I think at any age it would be challenging, but for me as a young man, it was extremely challenging. And let's just say I remember being angry at God at times, yelling at God, and at times I even had to ask for forgiveness from God for yelling at him, because it was just so frustrating. It was just so frustrating, and but I'm thankful for that yet, because God used that to draw me closer to him. When I was 18, I had a bit of a life crisis. I was going through something really hard, and it kind of made me ask a lot of questions in life, like what do I want in life? Where am I going? What do I want God in this story, or what? Through that, I had kind of like a, and maybe some of you guys had it, but kind of like a fork in the road. Like it was kind of like, you know, am I going to go live for myself and kind of drown my sorrows in drinking or drugs or whatever it was? Or am I going to seek God and find peace in his purpose and his plan for my life? And I'm so thankful, extremely thankful, that God opened my eyes to seek after him and to run after him. And that's why I'm here today. Jesus became my Lord and Savior. And I can truly say that from that point, God was my Lord. He was my King. He directed my everyday life, my decisions in life, where I worked, everything. God was my Lord, and I just appreciate that so much. So kind of the journey to this point, when John stepped down, I remember it so clearly. I kind of was like this little like prick in my heart, and I was like, no, this is definitely not something I want to do. And you know, I was running a business, everything's going well, life is smooth, like almost too smooth. And I remember that the first Sunday was like this prick in my heart. I remember the first Sunday they were like, oh, they're interviewing somebody. I'm like, yes. You know, kind of like, get this off my back. You know, this is not me. It's this person that they're interviewing. And I just remember that relief. But for some reason, that person never got hired. And I don't know what reason it is. God has a plan. So finally, I kind of gave up. I remember it so clear. I was like, okay, you know, I'm just going to text Pastor Gary. I'm just going to have coffee with him and like just chat about it and kind of just get it off my back, and then maybe, you know, it might just subside. So my obedience to the Lord comes out of my love for him. In 1 Samuel 15:22, it's to obey is better than to sacrifice. And this is kind of like a verse that's been in my heart for many, many years, you know, because sometimes it's kind of easy to sacrifice. You know, it's like, you know, I'll give $1,000 or I'll give this or I'll do this. But to simply to obey what God wants you to do and where he wants you to go and where he wants you to serve, it takes a lot more faith. And even in your life, as you reflect into your own life, you know, sometimes to obey what God wants you to do is a lot harder than simply just to sacrifice something. And we've seen that in the story of the Israelites. They were doing all these sacrifices, but they weren't obeying the voice of God. They weren't obeying what he simply wanted them to do and where he wanted them to go. But they were still doing all the sacrifices. And so this verse is again, applied to this story of my life. Because, again, I could sacrifice a lot of things, but if I wasn't listening to God's voice and heeding me to apply for this job and go to at least to this point in the journey, I wouldn't be obeying God. I was struggling quite a bit in my flesh if I should do this or not. Money, career, you know, all those things I was just fighting in my flesh. Should I do this? Like, yeah, it was a tough time in my mind. I'd be struggling at work, trying to figure out finding a point of peace. And you know, but God is so faithful, is when he has us on a journey, he'll give us the strength and the grace to continue on. The one day I was pondering this at work, and there's a proverb in Matthew 25 talking about the one loaning to a guy, a servant, is loaning money to lending money to his servants, and he's going to go on a trip. And he says, you know, try to multiply this. And then the five makes five more, and the two makes two more, but the one doesn't. But the two, they get the well done and good and faithful servant. And something about that I've always been in back of my heart is when I get to heaven, I strive to hear that from my Father. Well done, good and faithful servant. And this was a point where I feel like if I would have disobeyed, or as I was processing this, it was like this whisper. It was like, what if I get there and if I don't obey in this part of my life to go to this point, would I hear that? Would I hear that well done and good and faithful or servant? Or would God kind of pull me aside and be like, well, you kind of picked money over me, or you know, you kind of went your own way. Yeah, I'll let you in, but, and it terrified me. It made this process, you could say, a lot easier in some ways, because I strive to hear that from my Father in heaven. So a little bit of my experience in ministry, I didn't really know how much I should share, but some of the things that I've done over the years. I worked at Camp Kadesh for 2 summers. I ran a Bible study in a youth group with Valm Neufeldt for about 2 to 3 years, from when I was probably 19 to 21 to 22. And we kind of just ran a youth group. It wasn't a part of any church. There's actually some of the people in this church that have been to that group. And it was just an amazing time in my life. You know, I got to learn how to study God's word. I got to learn how to share his word, do things that were kind of crazy and, you know, maybe cringe at looking at back now. But we'd go to, you know, we'd go to the streets in Saskatoon and go door to door, handing out tracts and, you know, talking with Jesus. And it was just such a special time in my life. And my prayer is that I would take some of those experiences and apply them to this job. I was a lay pastor or an elder at the Warman Gospel Church for about 3 years, and so I did a lot of preaching and teaching there and just were part of the Bible studies, and I'm grateful for that period, even though it was a hard period of time in my life. I'm also super grateful for it because it was so many opportunities that I probably wouldn't have gotten anywhere else, and so I'm thankful for that. Some of the missions trips I've been a part of, I went to California with the VCA group in school. Some young guys and I, after grade 12, we went on I don't know if it's kind of like a guy's thing out or whatever they call that, but like after we were just like, we want to do something. So we went out to Seattle for a Christian music festival, but on our way there, we stopped in Vancouver and did some mission work. And it was an amazing eye-opener of just, again, the reality and how blessed I was to where I grew up and all those things. And yet, to know that God loves these people, and it was an amazing time for us to extend a love to them. I went to the youth farm, went with the youth farm to Mexico and built a house. Went to Bolivia on a missions trip with the Warman Gospel Church, the MMC. Went on a missions trip into Mexico this past winter, and we did some concrete work there and did some stuff with the homeless, and it was just a great time for me and my wife to do ministry together. So that's a little bit of my experience of missions, of things that I've done, where I've gone. And so for my vision for this youth ministry, and this is something that I've been kind of from the moment when I applied, it's been something that's been just stirring around in my mind and my heart. I hope you hear my heart as I share this. So when I was processing this one word, and I want you guys to remember this word through this whole journey, if I get applied, if I receive the job or not. But just this one word, I want you to remember it and to keep it in your heart. And that word is together. Together. Together with the parents. I want to do this youth ministry together with the parents. This is not me doing it by myself, you know, trying to figure everything out. It's something I want to do with the parents. Together with the parents. Together with you older people. You aren't excluded. Together with the youth, do youth ministry together. Strive to see Christ, to strive to grow in a relationship with Jesus together. Together with the youth sponsors. I want to do this youth ministry together with them. This isn't me on a pedestal and figuring everything out. I want to do it together as a community. Together with the whole body. None of you are excluded. So if I approach you, that's probably why. So as I go through the rest of this, what I'm sharing is keep that word in your mind. Together. I want to ask you a serious question. Do you think the world is striving for the success of your child or your children? Do you think the world is striving for the success of your child or your children? Not talking about wealth or career, but rather purpose. to know why they exist, meaning, hope, a spiritual success, abundant life, as John would say it, peace, joy, a relationship with Jesus. If we look into the world, we can see people understanding these systems aren't working. You see people in Hollywood or famous people, they already understand the concept that this world isn't working for their children's success. So this is even from a world perspective. You know, less time on their phone, don't watch TV, private schools, private education, private childcare. They already begin to see that the world is not for the success of their children. They're already trying to navigate, how do we protect them? What do we do? And Jesus is the answer. And bringing your children to youth for them to learn about Jesus is the answer. Bringing us together and teaching them the purpose and meaning of life. Maybe the question is, what does successful look like? Because to the world, a lot of success is if your child becomes wealthy or they become in government, or, you know, the world has a different way of looking at success. Maybe it's good marriages. Someone that loves people, is humble, is kind at heart, watches what they say, selfless, puts others first, doesn't steal, doesn't lie, isn't greedy, someone that lives with purpose, knows where they're going and why they exist, living for more than just the here and now. Maybe this is success. Living for more than here and now. Relationship with God that's real, filled with wisdom and counsel, making good decisions in life. I think some of these things can help us to know what success really is in the eyes of God. And that's my heart, is to help our youth to have a successful life. That's my heart. That's where I want to share out of. The world we live in is broken, is evil, filled with selflessness and pride, running anything with God in it into the ground. We need to stand strong for our youth, church. We need to stand strong for our youth. Each one of us. None of us are out. Each one of us needs to stand strong for our youth, because the world we live in is not working for their success. And we need you, yes. I'm looking at all of you guys, at every age. Youth isn't just for like the younger generation in the church. Youth is for you older, retired people, 65 and above. Influence the youth. Pat them on the back. Tell them Jesus loves you. Like, it's just the simple things that make such a world of a difference. When they know they're loved, it breaks so many walls down and shatters so many barriers. Teaching and preaching God's word is going to be my highest priority. Getting into God's word, looking at our lives, how does life work through God's word? What does God's word say about life and purpose and meaning? And I want to do it through the scriptures and truly build a foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified and what he has done for us on the cross. Building that foundation, anchoring that into their hearts over and over. I'd like to dive into some apologetics, kind of the reason, the proof and defense of why the God we serve is the one true God. Because that seems like a lot of the things in the world that's going on right now. Our God is the true God. So seeing Christ, or you could say Jesus, is the wisdom of God. If you got your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 1, 20, I'll just read verse 24 and 30. And I just want to translate this into my heart for the youth. 1 Corinthians 1:24 and verse 30. But to those called by God to salvation, both the Jews and the Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. In verse 30, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he had freed us from sin. So here's Jesus, seen as and is the wisdom of God. So if Jesus is the wisdom of God, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, what happens? His wisdom flows into our lives. The way he did life, what he said, where he went, who he spoke to, where he spent his time. If we fix our eyes on Jesus, the wisdom of God will enter into our lives. And I was pondering this a while back, is why focusing on a person makes such a world of a difference in our lives? Why focusing on a person makes such a world of a difference in our lives? It's because Jesus is God, church. Jesus is God. And when we focus on God, what happens? We change. We're transformed. And he transforms our hearts. So let's focus on Jesus, the wisdom of God. I want to teach our youth about Jesus, and that is the wisdom of God and the Son of God, who comes to seek and to save the lost and bring redemption to broken lives. So if you teach Christ, you're pretty much teaching wisdom. The wisdom flows into our lives. So the definition of wisdom is knowledge of what is true and right, coupled with just judgment as to action. So wisdom is simply knowledge to help make good decisions and good judgment. So as we grow in Jesus and grow in the knowledge of Christ and what he's done for us, and we fix our eyes on Jesus, we will grow in wisdom. And as we make decisions, we're going to be making more right decisions because we're fixing our eyes on Jesus. And that's my heart for the youth, is to teach Jesus, to teach the wisdom of God, so that when they go through life, they're going to be making decisions out of that wisdom that's been imparted into their hearts, that knowledge of Jesus. This is a quote I wrote at 4 a.m. last night. I was just laying in bed and I was thinking about this and processing of what I should share. I'll read it twice. If wisdom was so much as so, then we must fix our eyes on Jesus so that we'd be much wiser than before. If wisdom was so much as so, then we must fix our eyes on Jesus so that we'd be much wiser than before. That's our heart. That's my heart for the youth. Proverbs 3, if you got your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 3. I love Proverbs, by the way. I love it. There's a proverb for every day of the month. So many, many times I've just read that one proverb every day. So proverb 1, say May 1st, May 2nd. And then just go through the proverbs. And I've done that many, many times. And it's just, I just love it. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 13. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. So if you're doing business or any sort of thing, wisdom is where it's at. Wisdom is where it's at. That's your investment. If you're going to invest in something in your life, wisdom. And what is wisdom? Christ is wisdom. Jesus is wisdom. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths, and her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. So here we see so much of the benefit of wisdom in our lives. More profitable than silver or gold. It's value. It brings quality of life to us. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus and run after him, it grants us wisdom. But also, through the wisdom, it's quality of life in Jesus. And I do that with my Sunday school class now, as we read a proverb every Sunday, because I just love it so much, and it's such an application for all the young people. And my vision to connect God's word with action is also a huge priority of mine. That's outreach, missions trips, you know, whatever in the community, thrift stores, helping and just extending a hand. As we have our faith, we act on our faith. It's not something that we just do in church once a week, but to extend our hands out and to act on the faith that we share and that we believe in. So did any of you guys remember the word from the beginning? Together. Yes. We want to do this together. And my heart, and this is a bit of a summary, my heart's desire is to share Jesus and teach youth. Teaching and preaching God's word is going to be my number one priority. Christ is the wisdom of God. And because Jesus is God and we focus on God, he begins to change us. And to all you youth that are here, I'm excited. And I want you all to join me in the journey to know Jesus more, to grow in Christ, and to do life together. And to all of us, we need to stand strong for our youth. We need to stand strong. We need to be there for them. Each one of you, and my prayer is that it's pricking your heart right now, that you need to do something for them. And if this is small, it's small. It don't matter. So yeah, thank you for giving me this time to share. God bless you guys all.
Thank you, Braden, for sharing. Braden, I have one little bit of a problem that I'd like to address. And that is, I would have appreciated that your obedience when God pricked your heart early on, I would have appreciated you walking in obedience at that point. But no, I'm just kidding. It's fantastic how God works and in our lives and how we need to process things. So yeah, thank you for allowing God to shape and mold you and who you are. One of the things that I just want to mention, one of the reasons that I didn't mention it earlier, but one of the reasons I wanted to Marlise to come up here is, although she's not going to be, isn't the youth pastor, she is supportive of Braden, and she will probably be involved as much as, or as limited as, her job or family commitments will allow her to be. And so we want to respectfully allow them to figure that out in their lives as well, as we all do as pastors. Braden, I really want to thank you for sharing God's heart and his passion. One of the things that the first time we had chatted a little bit over the couple of years that they've been here, appreciated when they shared their testimony. But there's nothing as exciting as to hear Braden pray. He is a man of prayer, and he is he's just so passionate when he speaks to his God, and I love it. If you've witnessed it, you will understand. If you've not, you would love to hear that. Thank you for being real. Thank you for being authentic. And now to, just one other thing that I just want to mention. So, as much as I would love, we'll have today and next Sunday will be the vote of affirmation. And depending on the outcome of that, as much as I would love him to start on June the 3rd, if it was a yes vote, just the nature of his job currently will not allow for that, so he is self-employed, and so he's made a lot of commitments into and over the summer, and so his position will gradually happen, probably start, it would start maybe September, October, he would start working part-time to a degree. He has his business commitments to finish up. He has his, and just to deal with all of the things with the business, all of his tools and those things, that's all part of the process as well. We as a leadership team are aware of that, and we still, just because of the man of integrity he is, if you look at 1 Timothy 3, 1-7, and I won't go with that, through that, but these are the characteristics that we as ministerial look at when we're evaluating somebody coming onto into our leadership team, and we believe that Braden and Marlise fit that very well. And so, yes, we are not perfect people, but we believe that they fit that well. And so on behalf of the ministerial, I am recommending Braden Friesen as a youth pastor. And so today we invite you to affirm the leadership's decision. And if you haven't already received a ballot from the ushers, you can do so after the service. You can vote today and next Sunday. So thank you for taking the time to be a part of this with us. And just continue to keep Braden and Marlise in your prayers. Let's just close this service in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we're just thankful for your goodness. We're thankful for the passion that you have given to Braden. Thank you for his love for Jesus. Thank you for his love for youth and for them to know Jesus more. And so, Father, we just entrust this to you, and we thank you for it. Father, may you receive all the glory. We pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.